This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy
94.9. Current community affairs. The news and views you need to know. You are on the line with Dean Beck.
It's Thursday, the 4th of February, 2016. Good afternoon and thank you very much for joining me on the line today. Last week, we had some rather explosive allegations suggesting that the LGBTI Health Alliance, the national peak body empowered with the health and well-being of our communities, was going to be defunded. Doug Pollard brought that to our attention and he joins us again on the line for an update. Doug, welcome.
Hello, Dean. How are you? And hello, everyone.
I am very well. Thank you. Doug, D-Day came 24 hours ago, or at least we were told eventually by Rebecca Reynolds, who heads LGBTI Health Alliance, but they found out 24 hours prior to that.
Yes, they knew from about Tuesday onwards, I believe, they had lost their core funding. They still have ongoing funding programs, of course, which runs out at the end of June, and they're still holding out hopes of retaining some of that. But, of course, we won't know that until the end of June.
Of course, they have many programs currently still on offer. QLife is one of them. I believe all of the funding associated with the aged care rollout has been well and truly used. In fact, those that have applied for training in that space have been told they have to pay for it themselves because it's all gone. So the only way that can really stay afloat is if they get more programs and skim off the top of that enough money to keep the doors open.
Yeah, well, the curious thing about that is this is not supposed to be the Alliance's function. I mean, the Alliance is supposed to be the peak body that advocates for its client organisations, in other words, the rest of the gay organisations around the country, with the government.
And those organisations are supposed to deliver the programmes.
And they're supposed to deliver the programme. But what's happened is that the Alliance has gone head-to-head with these organisations in applying for funding to deliver programmes themselves, which strikes me as being a bizarre conflict of interest.
Well, the interesting thing is that many of the organisations that it represents had no idea that this was taking place.
Well, not as far as I know. No, I haven't heard anything about that. But then again, not telling people what you're up to seems to be kind of like a hallmark of the Alliance way of doing business, as far as I can work out. I have it on good authority from at least three sources within the organisation, for example. The funding application, the one that was rejected by the Department of Health, and I've put the rejection letter up on thestirl.com.au if you want to read it, was never actually seen by the board or signed off on by the board before it was submitted to the Department of Health. In fact, they still haven't seen it to this day.
Now, I believe there's quite a few anomalies in the original grant application, not the least of which is they didn't have their profit and loss statement audited?
No, it's very strange. This has happened 2 years in a row, looking through the financials. The auditors signed off on the account as being a true and fair account of, you know, the organisation's finances, except for the profit and loss statement.
Which is a pretty big part of any accounting acquittal, surely?
Well, should have been. But as regards the profit and loss statement, they issued a disclaimer both years in a row saying our statutory audit did not cover all details of this additional financial data. Accordingly, we do not express an opinion on such financial data and give no warranty of accuracy or reliability.
Can I issue a disclaimer with my tax return, Doug?
Sorry?
Can I issue a disclaimer with my tax return?
No, it doesn't work like that, I'm afraid.
Ah.
I ran this statement, this disclaimer, past a couple of friends of mine, one of whom is an international CFO, the other one is a CPA, a public accountant, and they both said they would not want to have that kind of statement stuck on their accounts, and it's a red flag.
I've been involved with very few grant applications, but a couple. And in each and every case, when it's been on behalf of an organisation like Joy 94.9, you've had to submit your annual statement with full financials attached. And if it wasn't accredited by an auditor, that would stand out like the proverbial.
Well, it would. And of course, the other thing that stood out like the proverbial was that they were supposed to provide, along with their grant application, their strategic plan, their budgets, various other things.
They'd spent a lot of time doing all of that.
Well, I understand they hired a consultant at some expense to produce this documentation, but unfortunately it wasn't ready in time, and in fact it still isn't finished.
So the application to the federal government for core funding was incomplete?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's correct.
That explains some of the reason why it was refused. I believe it was also quite substantially more than previous years at a time when the federal government has been telling us for a long time that things are being cut back.
It's my understanding, yes, that the request for funding was more than double the previous one.
I wonder what they're intending to do.
Well, you know, I really don't know. Apparently, incidentally, according to the Alliance, this has nothing to do with why they lost the funding. They lost the funding because I queried what was going on.
Oh, it's your fault.
It's all my fault, yes. This poor little blogger who puts up one little post is responsible for this entire debacle, apparently.
Well, I'm not. I wouldn't accept that, Doug. I think a fine.
I never knew I had such power.
I didn't know anyone read your bloody post. Now,
exactly.
Now, this came at a time, this announcement or the acknowledgement by government that the Alliance was defunded. Also came at a time when the government issued a media release regarding something else, which the Alliance had been very much involved with. And that was the Bureau of Statistics rejigging their definitions to be more inclusive of our communities in censuses in the future.
Yes, I believe we're now allowed to call ourselves other rather than male or female.
Well, that'll make a vast difference to our demographics and statistics in the future, and that's some of the work that the Alliance had been doing, but no
yes,
longer.
It will mean that we actually appear in some form or another rather than being invisible as we have been up to now.
Which is a good thing.
Unless we appear in the stats, unless we're counted on all the forms, unless bureaucrats can put numbers on things and say, yeah, we've got this many gays, this many lesbians, this many intersex, this many bi, this many whatever, then you don't get funding for things because
sure.
Officially we don't exist.
Well, Executive Officer Rebecca Reynolds yesterday in her statement that was issued said that the Alliance will continue to do the work and is committed to saying that the staff remain and committed to doing policy work. And that seems counterintuitive considering they've got no money to open the doors.
Well, they're going to have to be really, really lucky. She's actually just put out another statement this afternoon, which more or less says the same thing.
This morning.
Which I don't know if you've got a copy of.
I do. It's in front of me. I haven't had a chance to get my head around it yet, though, but it's just arrived.
Well, they say they're deeply disappointed that they will no longer be funded to provide policy advice to the government about emerging issues affecting LGBTI Australians. The whole object of this exercise, I think, was to kind of do away with organisations telling the government what to do. The government wants to work that out for themselves. All they're interested in at the moment is funding programs on the ground, as I said last week. What agencies like the Health Alliance are supposed to do is get their core funding from their member organisations to do policy development work, not use government money for that.
And government themselves want to be doing more policy work from the inside rather than being told what to do from the outside too, I believe.
So I'm told, yes.
Yeah. So
the Alliance does, you know, has done some good work along the way, but they do seem to be, how can I put it, let's be tactful here, somewhat dysfunctional.
What is going to happen with the current programs that they're operating? There is the National Q Life Network, which the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard here in Victoria is certainly a part of that. I believe the funds that the switchboard get from the Q Life stream is very, very minimal. But what it has meant is that you can now access counselling from anywhere in Australia from midday to midnight, I think it is.
Well, my sources in the government tell me that Q Life will continue to be funded.
Great. That's good news.
The decision has not yet been officially made, but word on the street, so to speak, in Canberra, is that that program will continue to be funded, but none of the others will.
The Alliance is also working very closely with Beyond Blue on a mental health program for gay men. What's the future of that? I guess Beyond Blue will just pick it up if need be.
Well, basically Beyond Blue will have to pick up the tab for that one. And whether they do or not, of course, is another matter. As I say, a lot of this stuff is now supposed to be funded by the client organisations rather than the government. And the Alliance itself is not supposed to be running programmes itself. So why they're applying for funding to do so, I don't know.
I'm led to believe that government cutbacks have meant that we now, at this very moment, have no national peak body for drug and alcohol. And the future of the HIV sector and bloodborne virus, sexual health sector, as far as a national body, is still in question.
Yes. As I understand it, the funding for the Australian Federation of AIDS Organisations, for example, is secure, but it will only be about half of what they had in previous years. So they're going to have to sort of trim back their activities too. But there is still ongoing funding there. Nowhere near enough, I don't think.
And for the National Association of People Living with HIV?
I have no word on that at this point. But, no doubt information on that will come to light in due course.
It's very hard to get anything out of NAPRA at the best of times. Doug Pollard, thank you very much for joining us on the line today and giving us that confirmation that the LGBTI Health Alliance, the national peak body, has no longer getting its funding from the federal government. Doug Pollard, thank you.
You're welcome.
You can check out more of Doug's work at thestirrer.com.au. I'm Dean Beck. You are on the line.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.